From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Researchers at University of Vermont have discovered that what they thought was one species of Caribbean smiley-faced spider is actually 15 species. It's a whole lot of smiley faces, but it may not be good news for the future of those species. And the researchers named some of them after Barack and Michelle Obama. Find out why later this hour. Also, efforts to put all that data that online advertisers gather to work for our health, and why one microbiologist has written an entire book to convince us that dirt is good. We start, though, with the latest research on chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. It's a kind of brain damage associated with repeated head trauma, and it's been found in many football players' brains, most recently that of deceased Patriots player Aaron Hernandez. The association with America's favorite sport has turned this mouthful of biomedical jargon into a household phrase in recent years, but we still don't have a way to diagnose the disease until after death. That could be changing. Researchers at Boston University School of Medicine and the VA Boston Healthcare System announced this past week that they've found an indicator of CTE that might be useful in diagnosing the disease during life. Jonathan Cherry is a postdoctoral fellow at the BU School of Medicine, and he's the lead author on the new study. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, the indicator that you've found is a molecule with its own acronym for a name. It's called CCL11. Without having to resort to a whole biology textbook, what is this molecule? What does it do?
So it can do a lot of things, as is common for all of these molecules in science. Recently, it's been associated with age changes in the brain. It's been normally associated with allergic inflammation in the rest of the body. It has some diverse functions. But the most recent association with age really kind of got our... It got us on track to looking at it because it's been shown with aging and inflammation, which we know is involved in CTE, which is what prompted us.
Aging and inflammation are pretty broad categories. How sure can you be that this is a specific indicator for CTE, specifically this pathology that's related to repeated head trauma?
Well, we actually looked at a couple of groups that can control for that. So we looked at just cognitively normal people that didn't have any sort of head trauma. And we also looked at a group of people with Alzheimer's disease. So this is a disease that is similar to CT in some ways, but also very different. Looking at those three groups, so the CT group, the Alzheimer's, and the control group, we can see that it's only up in those with CTE, which makes us believe that it's more specific than just general age or general inflammatory diseases like Alzheimer's.
I'm talking with Jonathan Cherry of Boston University School of Medicine about the discovery of a possible diagnostic indicator of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. Jonathan, in previous research, elevated levels of this protein, in blood at least, have actually been found in Alzheimer's disease. As you were just saying, you didn't see an increase related to Alzheimer's disease in your study. Do you have any idea why that difference?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. The separation between the blood and the spinal fluid can be pretty significant. So we do realize that this protein is involved in other diseases like Alzheimer's, but when they've looked in the CSF of people with Alzheimer's, they didn't really see a difference. So it could be that it's compartments. So in the brain, you have higher levels of CCL11 with certain diseases, in the blood for other diseases. It makes it a bit more complicated when using it as a biomarker, but these things are always pretty complicated like that. And probably in the long run, what we're going to need is a panel of biomarkers, not just the CCL11 that we saw, but maybe four, five, or six of them that can really accurately tell us what's going on.
And then as you alluded to, you were looking at this protein, this biomarker, specifically in brain tissue and in the spinal fluid, so not in the blood. This would end up being like a spinal tap kind of test, perhaps.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now. We definitely want to see what it's like in the blood. It could be elevated compared to Alzheimer's. It's just something we're looking for right now.
Now, the number of brains that you included in this study is not huge. 23 brains with confirmed CTE, 18 normal brains with no CTE, no Alzheimer's. I mean, with those kinds of numbers, how confident can you be in the result of this study?
Yeah, that's a great point. This is just a first step. So we're, again, not claiming this is the end-all, be-all, final diagnostic measure for CTE. We're showing that there is an association found in a small number of people. And because it's there, it's something worth pursuing, that it's a significant result.
My guest is CTE researcher Jonathan Cherry of Boston University School of Medicine. Now, the difference that we've been talking about here between those normal control brains and the CTE brains or the spinal fluid, I mean, it was detectable. It was significant when you averaged those brains together, you know, and looked at it statistically. But if you just look at the absolute difference, it's not a huge difference. It was less than a 25% increase to the most extreme cases of CTE or the longest exposures. I mean, would that be a problem in a clinical setting where a doctor is trying to look at one person's level of this protein and decide if it's a normal level or not?
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, we don't know what the levels are like in a living person. They could be much more different when you're looking at a control person versus a diseased person in living samples. So we just don't know right now. But the fact of the matter is that we had a significant difference between these two groups. And that's something that we need just to explore.
And one thing that you also found that was pretty tantalizing is the fact that the increase in CTE was greatest in people who had played sports where there's potential head trauma for the longest period of time. There was kind of a dose response here between playing something like football and seeing an increase in this protein in the spinal fluid.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's something we've kind of been a proponent of for a while, is that the longer you play these sports, the worse sort of pathology that you get, because it's not a disease of concussions. It's a disease of this repetitive head trauma over a long period of time. So those who play for the longest period of time, they might not get any concussions, but they have this repetitive head trauma, and they are at most risk.
The research that has been coming out in the past few months, I mean, for one, it seems like there's been a barrage of studies that have come out fairly suddenly. It was July when colleagues of yours at BU and the VA released their study of a bank of, 100 or so brains of former football players, finding that almost all of them showed signs of CTE. We've heard in recent weeks of a connection between playing football at an early age and behavior changes later in life. What's driving all of this research that's coming out right now about this topic?
So this is just continuation of work that we've been doing for years now, really just kind of exploring this topic. And it's all starting to come to a head since we have more people jumping on board, more collaborations that are working towards it, more dedicated people that really want to discover the true meaning behind this disease. So as we get further along, I think you're going to see more and more come out of this, just because we have this amount of evidence just building up more and more exponentially sometimes.
Obviously, with the number of kids who do play football in this country, there's a lot of concern right now about this and what kinds of impacts they might see later in life. We don't have any way to, well, at the moment, diagnose this during life, and we certainly don't have a way to treat it. Would having a diagnostic tool get us closer to perhaps being able to treat CTE?
Absolutely. So being able to identify it early is what we need to be able to treat it. And even before we get to the treating step, being able to identify it early allows us to understand more about the disease and see what makes it tick, see what the mechanisms are, see what the protein levels in the blood and the spinal fluid are that we can potentially target. So identifying it early with this biomarker or any number of biomarkers that can be proposed is a really, really important step for us treating and understanding the disease.
I'm talking with CTE researcher Jonathan Cherry of Boston University School of Medicine. You mentioned earlier this idea that we need not just one protein, not just one indicator of CTE, but a whole panel of them. Do you have other prospects lined up that you're waiting to test, or do you need to go do some exploration to figure out what those other things on the panel might be?
So colleagues and other researchers have proposed some other ones. So some work with Bob Stern at the CT Center has seen stuff like exosomal tau. There's other sort of analytes in the spinal fluid that have been mentioned before. There's more out there, and there are a lot of ideas as to what can be involved in this. And I think that, again, in the next couple of years, you'll see more and more of these that we can potentially start grouping together and really being used as a great biomarker panel.
So what is the next step that you are pursuing, having found this one potential marker of the disease?
It's really expanding. So we need to get a larger sample size, obviously, because this is very preliminary. Increase our sample size and take it into living people is the next step.
I imagine that you've probably got a lot of football players who would be very interested in being involved in a study like that.
It's a very hot topic right now, yes.
Jonathan Cherry is a postdoctoral fellow at the Boston University School of Medicine. He's the lead author on a new study describing a potential indicator of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, might be used to diagnose the disease actually during life. Jonathan, best of luck and thanks so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Up next, spiders named after the Obamas and why dirt is good for you. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.